I am sure you'll hear us today. It's a great honour and a privilege to be with you, and the representation of the Haven and the guys. I live in the Isle of Skye. Has anybody visited the Isle of Skye? Yeah, beautiful island, eh? And, but I've got the privilege of living on that beautiful island, but coming and ministering and being with the guys in the Haven once a month. I come down one weekend a month, every second weekend. And it's a great privilege to see the changes that the hand of God is bringing about in these guys' lives. And there's two of the young guys, well, I think they're young, aren't you? He's young. I would say he's that anyway. But the two of them are going to share a short testimony. And I have said to them, short testimony. So if you see my hand coming out, just to remove them. But these guys have got a story to tell for where they were and where they are now in their faith, in their journey, and the transformation that the Lord Jesus Christ, who we've sung about this morning, by the power of his Spirit, is changing them. And he's changing them for his purposes and for his glory. I would like to give a little update first, if you don't mind, on some of the guys that maybe were here the last time the Haven came. But I'll just, I don't know if you remember some of their names, maybe. A lady was clocking all their names this morning. Where are you? There she's there. You're a star, thanks. I'm Stevie, if you remember her. But a couple of guys that maybe were here the last time, Luke and Kevin, today they're travelling down to Leicester to the Leadership Academy under the Ministry of Teen Challenge, and they're going through that course. I think it's 6 months to a year. Am I right, guys? A year that they're going away for. They've finished, completed the Haven, more or less, and this is them further and getting more teaching of Christ and looking at leadership skills and how God may call them into these kind of roles in his church, hopefully, in the near future. And Brian is, Brian's a Greenock lad. And Brian is, Paul speaks about it now, the thorn in the flesh. Brian's like that with me. I mean, I love him so much, I'm more joking, he's such a character. But what I like about him is he's got such a courageous spirit about him. You know what I mean? So bold. I don't know if it's the Greenock side of him or maybe it's the Spirit of God in him now. But Brian has moved on to Edinburgh with the 20 schemes. It's a fella out there, an English guy from Manchester, I think, originally, Mez McConnell. And he's really training guys up in evangelism and teaching. And Brian's out there for a period and for a season. But he's actually back at the Haven this week because it's a holiday period. And he's been serving these last couple of days. He was with us yesterday on our outing into Glasgow, the busy city, where we visited the Transport Museum with some of the guys, you know. So, but Brian's came back for a week and he's going to be serving. And the other folks here we've got is Richard and Jason and Willie. And Richard's this fella here. I could see the handsome guy, but he's such an encouragement, this guy, the transformation. I remember when I first met him, when he came into the Haven, very disorientated with life, but Christ in him has gave him hope. And very powerfully, Jason and Richard here and Willie are now coming on as staff in the Haven, which is amazing. And you're getting a wage soon, Richard, I believe, aren't you? But these guys have got a real heart to help those that once where they were, and a real servant of Christ's heart in them as well, to serve the guys as they come in. And great testimonies. Richard maybe be sharing a little of his testimony this afternoon. And there's Willie and John working for the New Dawn Calf and Struthers Memorial Church out in Greenock as well. Two of the guys in there. And if you do go in, ask for them. You know what I mean? And they're wee characters, especially John. I know John quite well as well. And I'm sure you'll be blessed if you ask for their testimonies to be shared to you. And Jamie is working with the Street Connect in Glasgow, working with people on the streets, homelessness, and he's been employed there, I believe, with Street Connect, and reaching folk in desperate circumstances. And the Haven, for future plans, the Haven have a hope that they're going to be raising money for iPads for education with the guys. And it seems as if technology is coming into the Haven in these days, new modern technology. But so they're raising funds for that. So please, if you could pray for that, especially. And the residents are getting quite excited, especially those that are missing their iPhones just now. I mean, but they're excited that they'll be getting iPads to try and keep up with some good work in education. There's our newsletters just out in the foyer there. And please help yourselves. And if there's someone in your community or your family, someone you're in relationship and you know they're struggling with addiction, there's a testimony on here of Brendan, who came through the ministry and is now employed by the Haven as well. But a short version of his story as well. And these stories are having such an impact in people's lives that some folk are reading them. And then a couple of months later, they're actually coming into the Haven or going into similar centres. So please take these away. There's DVDs there as well with guys' testimonies on them. Please help yourselves. And again, give them to folk. Or even if you haven't got the courage or the boldness, just slip it through their door. You know what I mean? And just pray over it that God would use it for those that are bound in addiction here in your communities here, because it's everywhere. Now, if I can be quiet, I'll ask, is it William, would you mind coming and sharing for 10 minutes, William? Thanks.
Good morning. It's such a privilege to stand here and share the hope that Christ has given me and the transformation he's done in my life. I'm just going to share a wee bit of scripture quickly. The Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives. Though they stumble, they will never fall, for the Lord holds them by the hand. So I grew up in St Andrews in Fife. Come from a big family. There's eight of us all together, six to my mum and dad, and then my dad's got two, so I've got two stepbrothers as well. I had a good upbringing. I was brought up in a Baptist church in St Andrews. But from the age of 5 year old, my life is going to be a dramatic change in it. For five, 6 years, I was sexually abused. Sometimes this went on nearly every day. At points, I went through some serious things that somebody should never experience. This was gonna take my life on a different course. So growing up through school and stuff, I had a lot of anger, a lot of resentment, a lot of bitterness towards a lot of people, my family, for not protecting me. Social services for not spotting signs. I think I was about 7 year old. The social work come into school and took me out of class and asked me. They had a phone call, an anonymous phone call, telling them that, telling them that things were going on. But I was petrified. I was scared. So I just shrugged it off and said, "No, everything's fine." But my behaviour in school started to play up. I was getting kicked out of class all the time. Primary 7, I was asked to leave the primary school. My behaviour just got erratic. Went into high school and kind of the same thing happened. I was looking up to the older lads in school, hanging about with them, doing things they were doing, drinking, smoking cannabis, taking speed. So this went on through my teenage years. My older cousin, he was a heroin addict. I kind of looked up to him. I aspired to be like him, but I never wanted the addiction he had. So I started hanging around with him when I was about 16, 17. When he was around, because he was in the prison for 10 years. So it was one time he got out of Barwani prison, the 1st of November 2007, and he came to stay with my mum, and he said, I'm away down to pick up a crisis one. He said, I'll be back in a wee while. But the day before he went down, I took a wee bit of heroin, mum. It was the very first time I was introduced to heroin. And to be honest, I loved it. The feeling it gave me, it took away all the pain, all the hurt, all the things that were going on from my childhood. So then he went down to Methil a wee year on Fife, and he says, I'll be back soon, I'm going to get my money and I'm going to get a bit of gear and Valium. Never returned though. On the 14th of November, he passed away, an overdose. Well, they think it might have been the 13th, but it was put down on the 14th, he died. So that really affected my life badly. It just went downhill from then. I started injecting heroin then with my other cousin, Paul. Started taking it on a daily basis, injecting. But I was never enough. I got put onto a methadone prescription on, I think it was about 19. I started me off on 30 mil. Then again, that wasn't enough. Kept on going back and saying, oh, it's not holding me. Even though it was, to be honest, I was smashed. I'd only started taking it. 8 months. Kept on putting me up. I think I was about 20, I was on 100 mil of methadone. It still wasn't enough though. I was still taking heroin, still taking Valium. I'd go to the doctors and just say I was getting pains just to get these painkillers. Got put on to Tramadol. I was on all sorts of antidepressants, sleeping tablets. But 21, the police come to arrest me for warrants. I had warrants out. They come to my house and I said, I'll come, no causing any trouble, but let me go and get a drink first before I leave. So I went into the kitchen. I had my weekend methadone there. It was a Friday night. I had my weekend methadone. And I took it all. I took a handful of Valium, Tramadol. And the last thing I remember was driving into the police station, going to office, which is about a 45-minute drive from St Andrews. I remember just coming into the police station. That was the last thing I remember. Woke up in the hospital 2 days later. I died twice. Died in the ambulance on the way to the hospital, and then died in the hospital as well. Had to get transferred to a different hospital in Dunfermline. For a normal person, that should be a wake-up call. Not for me. Continued on. Ended up getting put in prison. And during this time, it was the first time I heard about Teen Challenge Rehabilitation Centre. The guy I was dubbed up with, I was in the cell with, he was getting visits from somebody from an outreach in Arbroath, and they were telling him about this place and the Scottish Borders. So he'd come back to the cell and tell me about it at night time, and I was like, man, I can't go there, can't smoke, can't drink, can't do anything. So that's crazy, man. So I got out of prison, but while I was in prison, my wee sister started going to a church in Dundee. And one of my cousin's mates, he had been down to Wales, Teen Challenge Centre in Wales, must have been about 2009, I think. And he'd done a couple of weeks, but he caught something of God, and he managed to stay clean for, I think, 4 years. And he was, him and his wife are taking my sister to church. So him and my pastor now, they said that they could help me. I told my sister, look, if he's wanting help, tell him to come and see me when he gets out of prison. So then, once I got out of prison, I went up to his work, and I just walked in and I said, look, I'm a heroin addict, I need help. And I believe from that point, that was the start of my faith. That was the first step of faith I took. So then I was meeting up with these lads and my pastor for about 6 months. They didn't want to just send me off straight away. They wanted to see a commitment. They wanted me to show that I was willing to do this and change. So about 6 months, got the application. for Whitchester House in the Scots Borders. A few weeks later I got an interview, but the morning of my interview, the manager said, bring your stuff down, if the interview is successful, we'll take you in that day. But that morning of the interview, I went up to get my methadone, a full script of Valium, and gabapentin as well. I took the whole script of Valium, my methadone, and a few gabapentin. So 2.5 hour journey from St Andrews to the Scottish Borders, can't remember any of it. Arrived at the centre and there was a couple of guys in the grounds doing a bit of work, and they had to carry me in. Couldn't walk, I was just absolutely gone. Walked into to the interview and the manager says, look, can't he do anything with him? He's far too gone. He's going to have to come off his medication. He's going to have to do a detox before we can even think about taking him in. So I was sent over to Dublin, to a place that was doing electric therapy treatment at the time. I'd done that. I was over there for 2 weeks at a man called Dwayne Kelly's house. Done that, and then it was difficult, actually. It was coming off all this methadone and all these other tablets I was taking. So I went then after that to Whitchester House on the 21st of March 2012. I went in broken, really broken, didn't know who I was. I had no medication, that was my crutch. That was the thing I held on to. So I went into the programme and I couldn't hold a conversation, couldn't speak to anybody. My head down all the time, just really broken. I went through the programme and had to deal with all these issues that I had through my life. This was difficult. But I think I was about three, four months into the programme and I'd done a counselling session with the manager, well, the advisor, but he's now the manager, John, and he said, I'm going to take you into a thing called imaginative prayer, and he explained what it was. So he said, go back to the very first time the abuse happened, have it in your mind, picture it. So I'd done that, and it was scary, it was facing that demon again. But he said, as it's going to happen, picture Jesus on the cross. So I'm thinking about this, thinking about Jesus on the cross and what that means to me and that kind of thing. And just as I can see that in my mind and picture it in my mind, I can only say I just felt a heaviness of a presence come upon me. And as that happened, I remember just bursting into tears and my heart, I could just feel my heart softening. I just cried out to God, I says, God, forgive him for what he's done, for the pain that he's caused and the hurt that he's caused in my life. As I'd done that, I really felt a heaviness lift off me, all the guilt, all the shame, all that kind of stuff. But as I went through the programme, became aware of God in a powerful way. Encountered him in many powerful ways. But on phase four of the programme, I was up the road for a week and I was out shopping with my brother and I met this guy, abused me. And as I was walking down the street, I just felt a prompting of the Holy Spirit to go and speak to him. And I was like, man, I can't do this. I was like, I must be joking. So I walked away and I phoned one of the guys I was on the programme with. I had a really close friendship with him. And I said, look, this is what's happened. He said, you need to be obedient to this. If you feel what the Holy Spirit is telling you to go and do this, you need to do it. So I walked away, and I was at, Lord, if this is what you want me to do, then put me back in my path. And maybe two hours later, I was walking into the bus station, and there he was sitting on the seat. I was like, man, I need to do this. So I waited, because he was with his mum. She was an older woman, maybe in her 70s. I waited. I didn't want to make a scene in the middle of Dundee bus station. So we got on the same bus as him. And as he got off the bus at the stop, I jumped off as well. I said to my brother, look, I need to get off here. He said, all right, cool. So he crossed over the road at the bus stop, and I walked over, and I walked in front of him, and I turned around, and I said, look, I forgive you for what you've done to me as a kid. And I was just about to turn away, and I was like, Jesus loves you. And as I said the words to him, my eyes started streaming, and I just knew. And came up with a new way of forgiveness. And I just knew I was free from that. I wasn't carrying that anymore. So then, finished the programme at Whitchester, went down to the Leadership Academy for 6 months. I was getting trained up to speak to people on the streets and stuff. And I enjoyed that, really enjoyed it. Met some amazing people with powerful stories. So then after I was coming to the end of the leadership, and I was like, God, what do you want to do? I didn't have any plans, so I just trusted him. I remember phoning my pastor. We were on an outreach in Edinburgh, and I phoned my pastor and I said, I don't know what I'm doing after this, I've only got a couple of weeks left. He says, well, I believe you're called back to Dundee. Moved to Dundee, and I just had a piece in my heart about it. So I moved up to Dundee in 2014, March 2014 it would have been. Didn't know why, just knew I had to go there. So then I went to college, done college for 2 years, professional cookery. And as I started the first year, my church got a new building, so it was going to be a new church plant. And that's when I realised that that's what I was called to do. So I'd done that for, I think it was 2 years. But I started to, I had 1 foot in, 1 foot out, really. Started to go to football every week, started to see girls. And I was going to be a downfall. So I had a slip. I used once, and I was like, this ain't me, I need to get away. So I went back into Whitchester House in July 2016. To do a 3 month restoration programme. But as I went into there, I never dealt with the things that cropped up, and I was going to be a downfall again. I finished the restoration programme, and they gave me a job at the end of it, working in the kitchen. So I'd done that for a year, and the same thing happened again. At the end of it, I was going to the football every week, getting involved in that crowd, sitting with the casuals at Celtic Park, and amongst all that. And that was going to affect me really badly. My mind started going again, started thinking about old ways and all this kind of stuff. So then I left Whitchester in October 2017. And within a month I was back on heroin, back drinking, back taking Valium. I took my eyes off God, really. That's the only way I can describe it. So then that went on for a couple of months. January I started trying to get away again. I tried a place in Dublin, Tiglin. Couldn't go there because just couldn't get benefits and stuff like that over there. Tried letting Kelly's, and I was going to go back there. And then the week I was meant to go, I had a date set and stuff. phoned them up and said, look, I'm just going to try and get my head together. I think I could do it. And that never worked. Straight back in about Valium, drinking. So then I contacted a lad that I know that used to work in the Haven, Nick, and I said, look, I need to get away. Is there any way you can contact the Haven, see if I can get up there? So he done that, made a few phone calls, and then he come up and met me with an application form. So I applied for the Haven start of February this year. I come in on the 22nd of February. I was broken again. But I still believe that God had a plan and a purpose for my life. I still stand on that as well. And as that Sam said, that though I may stumble, I won't fall. As long as I keep my eyes on him this time, and trust him, I know he'll prosper me. He'll take me to a better life than what I was living again. That's my story.
Stuart, come on, Shane. Well, William, share testimony. You know, he's very vulnerable and open and where he's been and where he's at. But I don't know, that's the first time I've heard his story, to be honest, in that depth. And one thing you need to remember is God is a God of many chances. We fall short every day of his glory. But his amazing grace is the tool that he sacrificed at that cross, that each and every one of us, no matter where we are in our journey, he can get us back up and keep walking with him. So William, the Lord bless you, and thank you so much for being so honest. This wee guy's got a funnier accent as well, really. But if you could share briefly a part of your story. Stuart, if you stand over here,
right. Oh, I had that to follow. Thanks, Rob. Powerful testimony. Grew up happy household through in West Lothian and Armidale. Got to about the age of 12, started experimenting, smoking, drinking, that kind of thing. Got to 14, started taking ecstasy. Went down the road of that, 16, started working. When I got to 16, had a bit of money, saved, well, no saved up, but blowing that every weekend, drugs, drink, all that kind of stuff. Got to 18, still in the same circles, couldn't break it. Got to, I was, what, 24, injected heroin, ended up dead. My wee mom had to bring me back to life. The last time, started to go on my knees. Kept on taking drugs. Got to 32. No, 30. My wee dad passed away. Most of my dad got right on the drugs after that. Ended up dead again. My mom had to bring me back, but through torture. I was working at work one day, a guy was telling me about the Haven. A guy was a drug worker. He was telling me about the place down in Rochester. Went down there for an interview. And like, about a year and a half you need to come. I was like, no danger. No going there for a year and a half. So got back into the daftness again. Ended up having to go. Ended up overdosed again, ended up on my knees, crying out, didn't know what I was crying out for. Last year, came into the Haven, lasted 2 weeks, went back out, back into the madness again. Then, December last year, decided to really make a go of the Haven. I've been there 4 months now, and it's only the glory of God I can stand here now. Cheated death too many times. And thank you for listening. Thank you.
Yeah, It's a privilege to hear testimony, isn't it? The book of Revelations teaches us that we overcome with the word of testimony and the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ. When these guys are testifying of their story, of where they were, where they're at, and even the hope that they've got now, it's the blood of Jesus Christ that's cleansing them of their sin. But it's the sheer testimony. They've been vulnerable, they're sharing areas of their life. And it was lovely to see these kids singing Overcomers. I mean, these guys are overcomers as well. They should have been overcomers at the kids' age, but we made a lot of wrong choices, didn't we? I put myself in there as well. But they're overcoming because they're sharing testimony. And the blood of Jesus Christ is washing it all away. That's the good news of the gospel, isn't it? The gift of repentance, as he releases that into our souls, into our lives, it sets us free that we can walk upright with a living God. And by his grace, we can be used for the advancement of his kingdom and glory. We have got 3 minutes, I would say, because we don't want the Sunday roast getting frazzled. I'm going to share a little bit of testimony this afternoon as well. In my journey, I'm 20 years away from my addictions, where the Lord Jesus Christ was revealed to me in the most gentlest way that transformed my life. So guys, I know you don't, we never prepared this, but could you come up here and stand just now? Just so that everybody can look at your lovely faces. I took chapel in the Haven. We have a little service in the morning, every morning, except a Sunday, because we go to churches or we visit our own churches. And I love coming down from Sky. I love saying that as well, right enough. I come down for the Isle of Sky. But these guys, when they sing, they just belt it out. Yous can be the judge today if they're in harmony, especially all yous worship leaders here, you know what I mean? But we're going to sing a song. Well, they are, because I'm worse than them. I'll sit down. But guys, sing us a song that yous are familiar with and yous know the words. But bless the church here. What would yous want to go with?
6-1
Eh? Fred, step forth. You're a leader, my friend. Good man.
The Lord has given a lot of good things. I will press on and make them mine. I'll know his power, I'll know his glory, and in his kingdom I will shine. With the high praises of God in our mouth, and a two-edged sword in our hands, we'll march right on to victory's side, right into Canaan's land. Gird up your armor, ye sons of Zion, gird up your armor, let's go to war. We'll win the battle with great rejoicing, and so we'll pray.
Can I pray for us? Father, we're very grateful for this time, Lord, that we can be in your presence, the presence of the living God, El Shaddai, Almighty God. Father, in your Son Yeshua's name, we're grateful this day. The Messiah, the Anointed One, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of this world. Jesus, thank you for revealing yourself to us here in this place. And Lord, thank you for the testimonies and the breath that you're breathing into these men. And Lord, how you're setting them free and raising them up for your purposes this side of eternity. Lord, I'm very grateful for this time with your church this morning. Thank you for the love for this ministry. Lord, thank you for the way, Lord, you burden their hearts to pray for us as well at times. We give you thanks and praise for this, O God. Bless and enrich your fellowship the rest of this day, Father, and may we sense your presence. May we hear your voice. And Lord, give us the obedience, whatever your call is upon our lives. In your Son Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.